So, good morning, everyone. As is with most of my exhorts, my parents aren't here, so I can say what I want. Oh, no. So, have you ever apologised for giving the same exhortation a second time? Or maybe a topic that you've talked about, or you've brought up in Bible class, or some other event? It's easy when we visit another ecclesia, isn't it, to give another the same exhort again because they haven't heard it. Unless the family's there with you, of course, they do hear it. But yeah, other ideas in our exhortations, we often have common themes that we follow. And while one exhort may differ a lot from another, they often have links. So with that thought in mind, let's consider my topic today, the general or generic exhortation. So I've borrowed from the work of a brother, George Booker, from Texas. A little bit of my own spin on it, but he's got some very good words here. So when it comes to the generic exhortation, the main defense for it is this. It's okay to reuse a thought or a topic, and sometimes outright reuse an exhortation, even with the same people. And in fact, it can be quite useful. Because we repeat these themes and these ideas, and they're so important. And the Bible, we mention the passages that support them. So, while this is the first time you've heard this exhort from me, if I ever give it again, what better exhortation than this? So, maybe in a couple of years, not sort of next week. So, for those who have grown up with Sunday school and Sunday meetings, and even those that have joined at a later date, you likely know that we're heavily shaped by the time and the place and the brothers and sisters around us. And we can safely say that while we can visit some extraordinary places today, there are some places that we can no longer visit, namely the places of our past, because the times and the people have changed. However, the memory still exists with us. So, when we think back, we may recall some of the older members of our family or ecclesia, and if we use a Bible term, patriarch, we don't call them that anymore, but that's what they are. And just like the patriarch Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they leave us with a little bit of insight that sticks with us. So I suppose I grew up in a relatively small meeting in Whangarei, and then again here in the earlier years. We've got some great numbers today. And it was often the same two or three brothers up the front sharing some thoughts with us. And this meant that I heard each one of them speak many times, and invariably there was a lot of repetition of ideas and favourite Bible verses. So some of these older, let's call them standby verses, we know them so well that they're no longer, we don't require an explanation anymore. Sometimes the brother, he might just mention the verse and move on. That's all he needs because we know the verses. So, as a kid, there were some verses that I'd heard so many times that even if I wasn't paying attention, I'd still finish the quote. And at that time, it seemed like a boring thing. But the simple fact is, we remember some of those verses because we heard them 100 times. So, there's a Bible sort of precedent for the repetition of ideas. So in the commandments concerning the Passover in Exodus, this is Exodus 12, 26 and onwards, it reads, "And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.'" And moving on that day, tell your son, "I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. In days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.'" What a wonderful picture. As we read, "I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." And even if it was 10 generations later, or 100 generations, a Jewish father would still tell his son, the Lord brought us, me, out of Egypt. It was a miracle of redemption to be repeated over and over and experienced by each generation. So no matter where they lived, time or place, they would have think of themselves as being delivered out of slavery and into freedom. So that's the picture we get from these verses. So repeating this lesson over and over makes fathers and mothers and grandparents and uncles and aunties, they turn into patriarchs for us, don't they? And reminds us of Abraham or Moses or David or Paul and what they can tell us from the pages of the Bible about our gospel hope. So it may be repetitious, but when we truly believe, it can never really be boring or tiresome. It's our life. So as we continue to meet each Sunday, we develop our own list of, let's call them, generic Bible verses. Maybe because we've heard them so many times that we can hardly forget them, even a lifetime later. I'm a bit young to say lifetime later yet, but I'm sure it'll occur. And these verses, they simply remind us of key points of faith that we've learned, and we hold them dear to the point where they can become some of our personal favourite verses. So it reminds me of one of our very own members here, Brother Leo. So he's instilled in me one section of scripture that I'm never going to forget. So on the road, or I'm sure you'll know the one I mean, on the road when Jesus appeared to Paul and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then Paul's response, in our Brother Leo's own words, immediately he said, "I'm wrong, you're right. What do you want me to do?" So originally I never appreciated this scenario, but the more I heard it, the more I came to appreciate it. So thank you, Brother Leo. So the Hoban version is now my favourite version of that section of scripture. So on to the main topic. So here I've got a list of, let's call them, generic Bible verses, made up of five verses that I'm sure you'll be quite familiar with. So the first one, Romans 15 verse 4. "For whatsoever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures we might have hope." So the development of patience or endurance in our day-to-day lives is what an exhortation is all about. And I suppose we could say the only true exhortations come from the examples and teaching of Scripture. Now, we don't read the Bible just to learn facts, do we? Although they are interesting, we especially read the Bible to be comforted with our hope and to be encouraged to dodge the bad examples and to follow the good ones. And for this purpose, the Old Testament is just as useful as the New Testament. So this verse in Romans 15, it points out a lot of things, but especially how meaningful and helpful the whole Bible is to us. It's not just old history. It's not just about events that happened thousands of years ago. It's alive today, and it's alive in today's news and tomorrow's expectations. The Word of God, it's living and it's powerful. But it only remains so if we see it as such and take the time to read, think on it, and apply it in our lives, of course. So, my second verse, generic verse for today, comes from Galatians 3, verse 16. "Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." So, like the first generic verse, this verse also looks back to the beginning and the gospel preached to Abraham. It reminds us of some fundamental Bible principles. Firstly, that Christ was and is the promised descendant of Abraham. Secondly, that the promises to Abraham were also promised to a special seed, Christ himself. And thirdly, that some promises are also given to us who are baptized into Christ. So, short and sweet. So, the next generic verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. "So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So some of you all know this verse as charity rather than love, but we all know that it's modeled after the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us. But why is love the greatest of these? We all know it, but repetition is a good thing. So many of you have heard this idea before. So faith, actually I think Brother Vic, you might have told me about this one. So faith looks back to the past. It's about what God has already done through Christ. Hope looks forward to the future. It's about what God will do through Christ. But love is for right now, and that's why it's so important. Past love, it no longer matters. Promises of future love, essentially it's useless until we act upon it. But love is an action, it's not an emotion as such. We need to show the love, not just feel it each day. So love is practical. It shows itself, or should show itself, in all the simple virtues. Patience, kindness, care for those who are sick, protection of those who are weak. It avoids all mean-spirited things like boasting, pride, anger. It encourages good in others while overlooking and forgiving their faults. So showing love doesn't require great intellectual feats, great wealth, or great physical strength. It does not need to be extravagant. It simply means doing the best with what we have and where we are. But it does mean doing it every day. For those that are around us, maybe giving a drink to someone who is thirsty, or a helping hand, just for a moment, to someone who's struggling. Or maybe a word of comfort or a listening ear to someone who's troubled. So we can't be like Jesus Christ, but we don't need to be like him. We just need to try to be like him, to be the best that we can be right now. But there's a catch, of course. We do need to be the best we can be right now. Not next week, not next year, not when we change a job, not when we graduate or when we retire, but we need to be the best that we can be right now. So it's the love that we show today that counts most. So my fourth generic verse here, Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, do we remember that it is commanded to, that we're commanded to fear not? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid because we are nothing but a little flock? Are we afraid of sickness or financial loss or hunger or death? Are we afraid that we will miss out on something in this life that we ought to have? This verse tells us that although we do worry about these things, our Heavenly Father, he finds pleasure in giving us the greatest gift imaginable, the kingdom of God. He wants to give us eternal life and his family in a wonderful, regenerated world. More than anything else, he wants to save us. Even when we have troubles in this life, which we know is inevitable, we must remember that there is nothing but light and momentary afflictions, although it doesn't seem so at the time. But sooner than we think, all our troubles will disappear in a full and eternal joy when Jesus returns. So, for my last generic verse here, from Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So, when the king returns, he will say, "Come." And it will be probably the most wonderful invitation that the world has ever known. So we have a glorious heritage, a glorious inheritance. The Almighty Father has prepared a place for his children, and he's holding the door open to welcome us. So if we truly believe this, then anything and everything else in this whole world is beside the point. Everything else is just like the morning mist before the sun rises, it disappears. So everyone else is no more than the paper on which our special gift is wrapped, waiting for the right moment to be opened. So again, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom. So, as we cast our minds to the bread and the wine, some of us can maybe let our minds wander back 20, 30, 40 years or more, and remember faces and names, and think of the power of tradition, or of repeated actions and thoughts and verses. So, like we read in Exodus, we do this because of what the Lord God did for our fathers, and for us in Egypt, and in the wilderness, and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for our fathers and for us in the upper room in the Garden of Gethsemane and at Golgotha. The promise to those like Abraham are just as real today as when we first heard them. Those promises have been given to us, to all of us, regardless of our age, race, gender. We have such a wonderful hope, and we can be sustained by our faith in what God has said. And we must continue to show our love for him, his son, and to one another. We do this in simple acts of kindness and care towards those who are around us. So, we do not need to fear anything that may happen to us in life, because God will delight in giving us all things. However, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but God, he knows our needs, and he has given us so much instruction and knowledge through those that have gone before us, and from the things we learn from those around us. So, my final thought for today is this. When Jesus returns, our Father will welcome us into his wonderful kingdom, a kingdom that is promised and prepared, especially for us, from the beginning of time. So, ponder that thought, hold it tight, and let's leave here today with renewed strength for tomorrow.